reminder for each of us that Jesus, our Savior, is alive. Even during Corona, remember, Jesus is still alive. So we thank God for our living Savior. We thank God for our praise team this morning. Why don't you join me as we go before the throne of grace in prayer? Eternal God, our Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity just to worship you one more time. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to worship you through prayer as well as praise. Lord, we thank you that you will allow us now to worship you through preaching. Lord, as we study your word, we pray for hearts and minds that will receive your word. We pray that as your word goes forth, that again it will fall on good ground. We pray for the hearers of your word. We pray also for your preacher. Lord, I pray that you would prop me up on every weak and leaning side. Lord, I pray that I would decrease and you would increase, and that they would see less and less of me and more of you. Have your way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dearly beloved, I would that you join me in the Old Testament book of Proverbs. As we return to Proverbs this morning, we are in Proverbs, the third chapter, beginning our reading at the 13th verse. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning our reading in verse number 13. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse number 13. The Word of God reads this way. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. May God bless the hearers, readers, and doers of his holy, written, and righteous word. Verse 13 begins, joyful is the person who finds wisdom. I want to speak this morning from the thought of the subject, finding wisdom, finding wisdom, finding wisdom. The Platte River, located in the Midwestern part of the United States, stretching all the way to the Western region, is known not only for its vastness, but also for its distinct characteristics. It is a muddy river. It's a shallow river. It's considered by some to be a stream. It is a tributary to the Missouri River, but because it is so shallow and because of the makeup of the Platte River, it is not one that can be used for navigation. Ships and boats cannot navigate through its shallow and muddy waters. And so it stands there, according to one reporter, as a very large circulation, but very little influence. It is this river that was the subject of the author and humorist who said about this river that it's a mile wide and an inch deep. He said that, and of course that phrase has taken on a life of its own. It's said often in our world to talk about someone who lacks depth, that they might be a mile wide but an inch deep. We live in a world now where that's how people operate with their knowledge. Because we live in a social media world, a Twitter world, a soundbite reality, people's knowledge often is not very deep. They may have some knowledge on a wide range of subjects, and so it may be a mile wide but only an inch deep, and the Bible tells us that that's not sufficient. That what we should want is not a little knowledge on many things, but that we should want wisdom. We should want something that's not wide but deep. Of course, the book of Proverbs is all about that. The reason for the book of Proverbs is to share wisdom, what is called proverbial wisdom. And in verse 13 of our text, it tells us that joyful is the person who finds wisdom. I want you to think about that. Wisdom is important, but had you ever connected wisdom and joy? The text says Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, which suggests to us that wisdom is a pursuit. He spent 30 plus years searching. Archaeologist Howard Carter had been searching for what he considered the grand prize. Through the deserts of Egypt, he searched for 30 plus years in an effort to find the tomb of King Tut. Being unsuccessful for 30 years, his benefactor, his sponsor, told him that after 5 years, if you don't find it, after these next 5 years, if you don't find it, I'm pulling out and I'm pulling my support. And so the time had passed, and when he had gotten to what was his final season and his final attempt to find the tomb of King Tut, he found a staircase next to the remains of Ramses VI. That staircase led him to what was the ultimate prize, the tomb of King Tut, buried and undisturbed for 3,000 years. It took this archaeologist over 30 years to find it. It is considered one of the greatest archaeological finds of our lifetime. And the reason he was able to find it is because he continued his pursuit, and he said that he believed with all his heart that he would find this tomb. And so that faith, with that persistence, led him to this discovery. Dearly beloved, the Bible says, joyful is the one who finds wisdom. And so our pursuit should be for wisdom. And in the text we have, watch this, not just telling us that the person who finds wisdom is joyful, but the text gives us some details, the benefits, if you will, of finding wisdom that lead to this joy. There are three of them here in the text. I want to share this with you and I'll take my seat. But the first I want you to see is that according to the text, wisdom is profitable. It says in verse 13, joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding, for wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. And so the first reason we can be joyful in finding wisdom is because wisdom is profitable. It's compared here in the text to silver and gold, and it says that wisdom is more profitable than those things. To help you really understand this, of course, we have to go back to 1 Kings chapter 3, because as you go back to 1 Kings chapter 3, remember that Solomon has recently become king. If we go to the city of David and we go up into the chamber of the king, it is that night that he has a dream, and in that dream he has an encounter and experience with the Lord our God. And so in 1 Kings chapter 3, if you can join me there, I want to read through that text, because that explains how Solomon could say what he said about wisdom and understanding that wisdom is more profitable than silver and the wages of wisdom are better than gold. In 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse number 5, we'll pick it up. The word of God says, that night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, what do you want? Ask and I will give it to you. Solomon replied, you showed faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued your faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. Watch, if you will, in the text, the humility of Solomon. Solomon says, first of all, that the reason he's on the throne is because God is faithful to David, and he calls it David's throne, even though he's the king on the throne at the moment. He then goes on to say, as the Lord asks him, or tells him to ask for what he wants, he sees himself as a little child who is unknowing according to the text. He says in the text, verse 7, now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I'm like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great of people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life. And so that is the moment where Solomon could ask for whatever he wanted, and he asked for wisdom. And God gave him an abundance of wisdom, more wisdom than any man or any person had ever possessed. Solomon used that wisdom to rule God's people, to build the temple of the Lord. And so when Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 3, that wisdom is profitable and it's more profitable than gold and more profitable than silver, he speaks from experience and he speaks the truth. Because when he could have asked for gold and asked for silver, instead he asked for wisdom. And by asking for wisdom, he showed some wisdom because God gave him what he asked for and also gave him what he did not ask for. But understand, in all that God gave him and giving him wisdom and giving him riches and in giving him long life, the thing that was most treasured was wisdom. As you go back to Proverbs chapter 3, the text says in verse 14, for wisdom is more profitable than silver and her wages are better than gold. So we see that wisdom is profitable. But secondarily, let me suggest to you, as we look at the benefits of wisdom, that wisdom is precious. According to verses 15 and 16, it's right here in the text. It says, wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. It says that wisdom is more precious than rubies. Not only is wisdom profitable, wisdom is precious. Back when I was younger, when my mother would buy certain cereals, some of them had a toy in the box. Now there were seven of us in the house, and so what a couple of us tried to do is when it was a toy we really wanted, as soon as the box of cereal was open, we would want to dig in there to try to get the toy, but my mother would not allow that. She would not allow that. She said, no, you got to wait until you get far enough down and the toy just comes out. And so now with all of us, you have sort of a competition here, because now you have to be the one that eats the cereal at just the right moment where the toy would come out. And so you, of course, are very careful, and it's almost like a game. It's a competition between us, because we want to be the ones who when we pour the cereal, the toy would come out into our bowl so that we would possess the toy. And so it would almost consume us, and that would be the cereal that we would eat until somebody claims the toy prize. Because for us, that toy became precious. It was important. I mean, I it doesn't matter how many toys we had in the toy box. That toy in that cereal box became precious to us. The text reminds us that you can't just go right to the end and have wisdom, that you have to pursue it, that in your pursuit of wisdom, you understand that it is profitable, but also that it is precious. Wisdom should be important to you. I remember hearing about a young man that was lackadaisical and didn't give much effort in anything, and so one day he went to go try to get a job. Through mercy, he was given a job, but his boss got frustrated with him. And he just asked him one day, he said, well, what is it about you? Are you lazy or are you ignorant? What is it? He said, his answer was, I don't know and I don't care. He had no desire for wisdom. It says here in the text that wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. In the book of Job, in Job chapter 28, there is a discussion about this very wisdom. Remember, of course, Job, as you look at the book of Job in its context, that Job was suffering, but he was suffering because Satan attacked him and God allowed the attack. And all of this was to see whether Job, of course, would stay true to the Lord. And in the midst of that Job had his friends who would come up and make accusation against Job as to why he was going through what he was going through. None of them were privy to the conversation that had happened cosmically between God and Satan. And so they were trying to understand why Job was experiencing what he was experiencing. And so in Job 28, the theme of wisdom, of course, comes up. And it says in Job 28 and verse 12, "But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? No one knows where to find it, for it is not found among the living." Job 28 and 14 says, "Is it not here, says the ocean? Or it is not here, says the ocean, nor is it here, says the sea. It cannot be bought with gold. It cannot be purchased with silver. It's worth more than all the gold of Ophir, greater than precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Wisdom is more valuable than gold and crystal. It cannot be purchased with jewels mounted in fine gold. Coral and jasper are worthless in trying to get it. The price of wisdom is far above rubies. Precious peridot from Ethiopia cannot be exchanged for it. It's worth more than the purest gold." And so in that situation, of course, you would understand how important wisdom would be. I like to suggest to you that in every situation, you understand how important wisdom is, and wisdom is precious. It's worth more than all the rubies and all the gold. It says in verse 15, wisdom is more precious than rubies. In May of 2012, there was going to be an auction, a 32-carat Burmese ruby and diamond ring was going to be sold at auction, and it once belonged to Lily Safra, one of the richest women in the world. It was estimated that this one piece of jewelry would sell and was worth between $3 and $5 million. At auction, it actually sold for $6.7 million. One ring of ruby and diamond sold for $6.7 million. It's the most expensive ruby ever sold. I want you to try to have a picture in your mind of that ruby ring with diamonds valued at $6.7 million. Have that in your mind and read verse 15, because verse 15 says, "Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her." And so wisdom is precious. Verse 16 says, "She offers young life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left." And so the text gives us the benefits of wisdom. Wisdom, precious, according to verse 16. Wisdom offers prosperity. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. But that's just the side benefit here, because the final thing I want you to see in the benefits of wisdom is that wisdom guides your path. Look at verse 17. It says, "She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying." Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. Want to build a ship? Don't drum up people to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. If we look deeper, there are things we'll see that we would not have been able to see before. The text tells us that wisdom will guide your paths. Not popular culture, not your horoscope. Wisdom will guide your path. It says In verse 17, she will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Applied a spiritual wisdom. And there are many who look at what we do as Christians and think that we are foolish. They think that we're foolish to believe in God. They think that we're foolish to be committed to a church. They think that we're foolish to have a Lord's Day on a Sunday where we commit ourselves to the Lord. They think all of this is foolish, but the Bible tells us that it's wisdom. And that wisdom guides our path. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you can turn there quickly if you can, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we have that very discussion made clear. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 19, the word of God says, as the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. And so godly wisdom points us to God. That is the path. Not human wisdom, not the philosophers, but godly wisdom points us to God. In so doing, it directs our path. And that should be our pursuit. That should be our desire. In this time, in this critical time, how much do we need wisdom? There are people debating over what we should do and whether this should be over and that should be over and this should be okay. But have they prayed for wisdom? Are they doing this through wisdom, or is there some other motivation? All of us should be seeking wisdom and seeking it with all our might. Young man, a prideful young man who went and searched out Socrates, the wise man of years gone by. And he searched him out, and he finally found him, and he went to him. And he said to him, I want wisdom. And so Socrates just looked at him. And the man says, oh, great Socrates, I came to see you because I want wisdom. So Socrates says, is that right? And so he says, take a walk with me. So he walks to the sea. And he goes, stands in the sea. He has the man standing next to him. And they get up to about their waist in water. And he asks the young man again, what is it you want? And the young man says, I want wisdom. And so Socrates takes the man by the shoulders, dunks him in the water, and brings him up. And so he asks him again, what is it that you want? And the man says, I want wisdom. So Socrates takes him out a little further. He dunks him in and holds him down for about 15 seconds. He brings him up and he says, what do you want? And the man says, I want wisdom. So Socrates takes him out just a few steps further, drops him down, holds him down now for 30 seconds, asking him, when he comes up, what do you want? And so after going through this and barely able to hold his breath, when the man comes up this time and Socrates asks, what do you want? The man says, air. I need air. Socrates says, when you get to the point that you want wisdom, desire wisdom, we should pursue it. We should want it like we want air. We should want the wisdom of God. There are so many situations that we will face that on this side we don't know the answer to, but God, of course, already knows. So we should seek godly wisdom, because he who finds wisdom, Lord and our God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray again for wisdom. There's much debate in our country right now over what to do regarding the coronavirus and the quarantine and the safety of people. And so, Lord, we pray for every person that has to make a decision. We pray for our city leaders, Lord, our state leaders, our national leaders. But Lord, we pray for every person that leads a business that must make the decision, Lord. And we pray for every pastor and the leadership of each church who must make decisions during this time. And Lord, we pray that you would impart wisdom. We pray they desire wisdom, Lord, and that you will impart it, that they go to you for direction and guidance, that they not look to the left or the right, they not look to popular opinion or even the stock market, Lord, but that they look to you and look for wisdom. Lord, we also pray this morning for the person who in this time, in this season, Lord, is living now with all of this confusion, but they don't know you in the pardon of their sins. We pray, Lord, that you will draw them to yourself as only you can. We pray that you will touch their hearts right now. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you and invite you to get to know them today. You can call the church office. You can reach out to us online. We'll open the Word of God and introduce you to them for yourself. The wisest thing you can do is have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is my prayer that you'll find wisdom, but more importantly, that you would have a relationship with Jesus Christ. As we prepare to depart, I pray that the Lord is with you this week, that he continues to keep you safe, keep you well. I pray that the Lord will keep you in the days to come, and Lord willing, that next Sunday we can, of course, meet again. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you and we bless you. Lord, we pray that all that happened this morning was pleasing in your sight. We pray for your protection in the days and the week to come. We pray that if it is your will, that we can worship together virtually again next week. Lord, we pray that you would have your way with us. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us before his glorious presence with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, majesty, and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. And let all who love the Lord say, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.